Video conferencing. It is, the hot topic, and I think we all have made experiences with video conferencing, and most of the time I'm not really happy about that. It's not really efficient, and a lot of audio problems occur, and it's a very it's a comparatively wasteful way of conferencing, coming together and discuss things. It's interesting that it became such a fashion lately, because it has its origins in the late 19th century, and even in the well, it developed in parallel with the development of telephone communication, but it never really got the attention, probably because it wasn't so, or people understood that it wasn't very efficient, or it wasn't necessary to to transmit all the video data if the only thing is a piece of information that one person wants to transmit to another person. Slow scan is another step in the development of video conferencing, mid 20th century. That's an interesting overview by a man who's well known in the Unix world. It is Michael Lesk, who is the author of TROF and the Lex compiler development tool, and he wrote in 2002, or some years earlier, in the first edition of a book about libraries, overview of simple media formats from the from data types like bytes and a word in a natural language. He counted as 6 bytes long, and the average length of a sentence 100 bytes. It's a bit unevenly distributed across languages, but more or less, and it fits nicely in this in this column where we have the ascension of numbers. So let's don't be too picky here. But 1,000 bytes, half a page of text, is it's quite much, more than one likes to remember or learn by heart and repeat. Or it's quite a lush amount of information in 1 kilobyte. And there's this discipline of very small demos or zero player games, as one could see them, all these graphical intros and demos with classical computers, but also with modern computers. They like to keep binaries as minimal, and they do a lot of interesting things in this order of magnitude. And our text-based communication has many examples of these small instances of information, information media, and it gets quite it explodes when you add non-textual data. It's waveforms, and we don't have a grammar to encode waveforms efficiently. So it's really a stream of waveforms to encode speech, and video data is even larger in space consumption. And there's an interesting ascension up to for example, a floppy disk, or the Bible is a nice example, because that's both parts, of course, Old and New Testaments together are 5 megabyte, and that's a size of a book which takes a whole where people study for years and don't know everything and all the details still, and that's 5 megabyte. And then if one counts collections, for example, in shelves of a library or a whole library, then you get into the sizes we commonly have in our computers and the hard drives and memory disks, SSD disks. And the most interesting row here is that 200 gigabyte for a YouTube video. That's the uncompressed amount of raw data. And I found this nice example in the Blind tool from Suckless, which uses uncompressed video data. So it's quite large, and there's a lot of compression and processing going on when people use their shiny new M1 MacBooks to record a video of themselves and probably send it to a Zoom server or something in that of that sort. And it easily gets into the size of big national libraries or academic libraries. And that's also because for calculating the amount of carbon or the wastefulness, or measuring the wastefulness of video conferencing, this is here's the data for that. I'd say, of course, one has to take into account all the processing and compression that goes on when compressing the video data. But that's also a lot of work that could be saved if, for example, we only look at the information proper. It's really lightweight, and there are many fine examples of in history where just a small message made a huge impact. And I'm sure everyone can think of new interesting examples. One of my favorites is this command for the self-sinking of the German fleet after the World War I, somewhere in Scotland, and it was only 3 words or 26 bytes or 8 words or 47 bytes in English. It was paragraph 11. That was a code. And It was actually given with flag signals. Shipmen, waved flag signals to transmit this message, and apparently all ships received the message correctly and sank their ships, all of them. Very interesting, a very short message and a huge impact. And they didn't need audio or video, or that would be superfluous information. Totally unneeded. And other pieces of wisdom or quotes, I like to mention "Cast not your pearls before swine," for example. One could see this all the computing power and memory abundance that all of our computers have are a bit like the pearls cast before swine when it's used for stupid or wasteful things. Especially wasteful is this dynamic video backgrounds, which are so popular. I think this could be measured and edit on top of that. CatV considered harmful, classic four words, 25 bytes, and it's a meme in the computer science literature. There are many articles ending in considered harmful. I think one of the earlier predecessor was Dijkstra, go to considered harmful, but there are many more. And one more megabyte, one of our memes. It's from the 90s. Even then, it occurred to the writer of this song that a megabyte is quite much it, and maybe not so much needed. And I got, I think, most quotes here from CatV. Of course, it's a bit of one can easily start controversies with if one is criticizes it too radically. But from a purely information theoretical point of view, it's really only the bytes of the information that counts. Most of the other, or everything on top, is really not needed. And a nice one is also the classic religious quote from the Reformation, Sola Scriptura, only the text, so to say. Fits nicely to my cause here, even though it's from a bit different context, from 1520. And of course, a very simple message, yes, and the counterpart, no. Very short, and can have a decisive impact. Here's the controversial hypothesis. I try to phrase it not too offensively, but one has to ask how did it became so ubiquitous that it is everywhere now in all businesses, and of course in all institutions and schools, and course, the people that decide about that are not interested, or have not thought about efficiency of information transmission. They maybe have recently bought a new MacBook, and I think it's a good idea to use it for video conferencing. I think it's very very non-technical maybe fashion reasons. And one question, oh, Gentoo use video conferencing, for example. Yeah, interesting. And I thought quickly Linux kernel development, development. No, they are famous for their mailing list that that most people don't read because it's too much every day. But yeah, the hypothesis is it's a Maslamer phenomenon, and it's the amount of people that decide about let's make a video conference is so huge that one cannot not a good idea to confront them openly, or I think it's futile. Oh, some use Jitsi. Yeah, the distros, okay, that's a special kind of free software, but still it is free software. And it's enforced in schools. It's quite hard. Sometimes it's hard to avoid it, and I wouldn't. In my experience, even if one is attempted to not use it or use some alternative, it's the hard way, and it's very cumbersome, and it's a hard fight, and maybe it's not maybe it's better to howl with the wolves, to do what all do and don't stick out of the mass, just to get on with your actual work. But especially for schools, it really has advantages, this text-based conferencing. It equals out the different types of pupils, and it also gives this typical quiet pupil better opportunities or chances to contribute than he would normally, namely he wouldn't contribute probably. According to my experience in video conferences that I that I got invited to, it's not it's maybe it's better to just play the game, and just connect with audio. That's good enough in most cases, or actually in all cases, unless you're yes, interesting, and it's again an one can learn a bit of, or I like to take a look in history of religion, and we find the concept of takia, which is exactly the same advice if you're in a hostile environment or in a futile position, and it's allowed to be to take part in video conferencing. However, it is the other school of Islam, the Sunni, regards this as a weakness. Yeah, and it is certainly it can be seen as such, but I think that leads us to total victory, or the question how to achieve total victory over the lamers and their MacBooks and their uninformed conferencing fashion. And it saves us from a lot of bloodshed to use this Takiya technique and go on with our work and our lives. Of course, the subtitle of this talk is Green IT, and of course it is it I think it yeah it can it makes a huge impact. And if we would save all the video unneeded video conferencing, that is 100% of the video conferencing, and yeah, all the kilowatt per hour saved. And but it is it would cause a lot of I think it would be easy to agitate or win other people, maybe non-technical people, for the cause of not using better or more efficient means of communication. But it would cause a lot of trouble. And I have seen once a talk of the Fridays for Future school children or young student university students, and they were not they came along with their MacBooks and had problems with the beamer, and they are not I think one would in a way misuse them just for have a large number of people to gather behind the green label. But it would be a rather I think it would be a feasible way to win people. But yeah, who wants to lead them? And I don't. And who wants to educate them? And maybe it causes grief if you tell them that they don't need their shiny MacBook, or should buy a Raspberry Pi instead, maybe a Raspberry Pi Zero. So, or better get on with our projects and lead by example. I had it somewhere here. Lead through example. That's the best way. It's military proven, so to say. It works much better than to minus F to force people with righteous and good parameters. But it just works better if you do it and show it how it goes. And if they don't get it, and yeah, then too bad. We have other things to do and go on with our projects. The first three titles in this bibliography are recent papers from the world of linguistics, where or computational linguistics, where people have gotten the idea that being green is good, and all this deep learning AI thingy is a bit wasteful. And they do, yeah, they calculate a bit actual carbon footprints there. Of course, it's obvious that it's wasteful and not very well thought of. And they are actually creating a new branch of or I would say a pseudo linguistics or fake linguistics, because it's unrelated to large branches of linguistics, yeah, that don't that happened 200 years in the 200 years before that. So they, in a way, reinvent the wheel, and not very efficiently. But that's another topic. And the last book is also given. He's still alive, the creator of Tirov and inventor, or it's really simple. Everyone could fill this table, but not everyone did it, and he wrote it up, and it's a striking. It's full of striking examples, and use it wisely, and scarcely if you tell people about green IT and video conferencing, maybe it causes more trouble than just leave them doing their thing and participate when needed, and otherwise create good text conferencing and text based interfaces. That's it. Thank you, and